I want you to really listen. Saved people, I want you to listen too, because this fits you just as much as it does the lost. Because it still had an effect on you when you were a sinner one time. Matthew 26 and the 57th verse. And it says, "And they had laid hold on Jesus and led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in, and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses, and said, 'This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.' And the high priest arose and said unto him, 'Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?' But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, 'I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God.' And Jesus saith unto them, 'Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, 'He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard this blasphemy. What think ye?' They answered and said, 'He is guilty of death.' Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, or they beat him or struck him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, 'Prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee?'" And if we could take for a thought tonight, if we could put a title on this at all, it would be Jesus Christ on trial. We know in times past that there have been many high-profile the trials that have taken place here in Nashville. Just a few months ago, there was a big trial that went on with the Vanderbilt school up here, and it was all over the news, and it's all you heard about. And I want you to know tonight that the trials of this that we hear about today were nothing like what was fixing to take place here. I want you to know and understand tonight what had already happened. We know that Jesus Christ was born into this world to already die for us. And I believe that he'd already lived his life 33 and a half years, and he'd gotten down to this place where he was fixing to die for every single one of us. And we know in just a few chapters before this that he went down and his disciples, he told them, he said, "You wait and I'm going to go pray. You pray with me." And they had fallen asleep. But we know what had happened with Christ. He went there and he began to pray and he began to pray so hard that his sweat became as great drops of blood. And I believe that he knew right there. And I believe if we read over in John chapter 17, we talk about the Lord's Prayer. That is the Lord's Prayer. Yeah. It was for every single one of us. He prayed for you. Amen. He prayed that we would be comforted in this world, but he prayed that God would protect us. That was the prayer that he was praying there. But we get down and we know that Judas had betrayed the Lord, and he had told the Roman government all of these things. And we know that we get down here and after he was praying in the garden, they came to arrest the Lord. And we get down here and they take him before the high priest. Oh, in the world they will always want to come at us and they want to say, "Is Jesus Christ really real? Is he really the Son of the living God?" And these people were questioning that. And I believe we get down here and we read where it talks about the high priest saying, "Are you really the Son of God?" And he says, "You said it. I didn't have to. You've heard all of the things that I've done." And they started to ask about witnesses. And we're going to get to the Jesus Christ on trial part here in a few moments. But they began to ask about these witnesses. And I want you to know and understand tonight, if God was, or Jesus was sitting here tonight, and I want us to just remove ourselves from this place tonight, and I want us to go back to Jerusalem. And I want us to go, and I want us to sit there, and I want us to watch all of this take place. I want us to take our minds, and I don't want you to see me tonight. I want you to see Christ standing before Pilate when we get there. I want you to see the agony, and I want you to see all of the people that were crying out when we get there.
I want you to see Jesus Christ on trial tonight. And let's see if there's enough evidence to convict him of what they say he did. And the high priest of this time, Caiaphas, he asked if there were any witnesses, and they come before him, and they couldn't find any. And then they found two. He asked a couple times, and they found none. And then all of a sudden, two pop up ready to bear false witness against the Lord. And they said, he has told us that he can destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. Oh, if they really only knew. If these people really only knew how true those words were. This is the evidence. We're building a case tonight. And I want you to think about this. If Jesus Christ were here tonight and there was a great judge in front of him in this world, there are many trials that take place. And there are people tonight that go before a judge and they're as innocent as they can be, but they still get convicted of a crime they did not do. That's our government and our crime and our a system of law in this country. Sometimes that happens, and I want you to know tonight, this took place here. There was some wrongdoing that took place. And they began to beat on him. And they spit in his face. The Son of God, they spit in his face. And lost person, I want you to realize tonight something. Every bit of this that God goes through, every bit of this that Jesus Christ takes upon him, it was because of you. It was because of me that he went through everything that I'm going to read here tonight. It's because he loved us enough to do it. He didn't have to. Oh, no. He could have said, oh, Lord, just take me out of here. And you know what would happen to all of us? We would be bound for a devil's hell with no hope. Amen. You better be thankful tonight that he done this for you. Amen. And I want you to know and understand tonight, if you don't seek the Lord for your salvation, you're spitting in his face. You're telling him that you don't believe in him, that he went through all of this, that it was for nothing. So I want you to know and understand tonight, you better be listening. You better be taking a stock of where you stand tonight with the Lord. Oh, you better be taking stock of it tonight. I want to read over in the 27th chapter of the book of Matthew. And after all of this had taken place, Peter, whom Jesus loved, why? Peter denies him. And Jesus told him, he said, you'll deny me 3 times. And Peter said, no, surely I won't. I love you. And he denies him 3 times. I want you to think about that tonight. If you're lost and undone without the Lord, and I want you to think about something, saved person, when you were lost. If you've been saved by the grace of God, I am so thankful that you are. But I want you to think about something tonight. There are people today that have a mind that believes in God, and there is no mind salvation. Amen. There's a lot of people tonight that will say that they profess something in Christ, but have no idea who Christ is. People will say, well, surely I love you. Surely I love the Lord. And I'm not saying Peter wasn't saved, because he was. But there's a whole lot of people tonight that are denying Christ that will stand before people all day long and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they have no idea. I hope you're not one tonight. I hope you know him in the free pardon of sin. I hope you know him tonight. This man that we're fixing to put on trial, I hope that you know him. After Peter denies him and the cock crows three times. First verse of chapter 27, Matthew 27. It says, and when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. Now, I want us to think about something tonight. Can you just imagine this whole throng of people gathered around Christ, taking him to Pilate? All of these people just walking with him, the chief priest and all of these people, they claim to hate him. And you know what they're fixing to go do? They're fixing to put him on trial because of the things that they say he's done. Well, did he really do the things that they say he's done? Let's find out. It says, and when they had bound him, think about that, they bound the Savior. And when they bound him, they led him away and delivered him unto Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor of Judea and Samaria at this time. And he was a great man in this in this place at this time. And like I said, I want you to go with me tonight. I don't want you to think about this church. I don't want you to see this church. I want you to go back to Jerusalem, and I want you to stand at Pilate's halls with me for just a few moments. I want you to stand there, and I want you to hear the accounts of things that take place. And I want you to be the judge tonight. Is there enough evidence to convict the Lord? We're going to skip on down to the 11th verse. Judas, the few verses that we're skipping, Judas couldn't bear the load of what he'd done. And I believe he realized just exactly the magnitude of what he'd done. But it had to fall his lot to do that, the Bible tells us. We move over to the 11th verse. And Jesus goes before Pilate. And we read in the 11th verse, it says, "And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest." Here we go again. We've got people that are accusing the Lord of being the Son of God, and Jesus had never opened his mouth to say that he was. Somebody obviously had told him. Somebody had obviously already filled Pilate in. Somebody had already come before him, and they'd said, I know this for a fact, that people had heard about what Jesus was doing. People knew about all of the wonderful things that he was doing, because multitudes would gather to see all of the things that he had done. People were interested and they wanted to see, and I believe the Roman government was very upset about this because he was taking power away from them. It scared them. It says, "And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. And then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things that the witness against them? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. And then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put him on a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him, here we go again, and they took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. As I told you tonight, our thought is Jesus Christ on trial. Now here we have this man named Jesus, and we all know this tonight. We know how this goes, but this is what the Lord has given us, and I believe tonight this is something that the world needs to hear. They need to know about this. Amen. We know that Pilate was here and Jesus was standing before him, and I want us to think about this tonight. And it's not expressly written like I'm going to bring it out tonight, but I want you to get the full effect of what happened here. This just came to me, and the more that it was laid upon my heart, the more it broke my heart. What evidence do you have that this man should die? Why should we put him to death? And I can just hear the crowd shouting out, Have you not heard all of the things that he had done? Have you not heard that he'd been raising people from the dead, make the blind to see? He caused old filthy publicans to change their lives. Why, he had cast out devils. Have you not heard that he's called himself the Son of God? Have you not heard? Do you not know all of the things that he's done? He's made the lame to walk. Turned water to wine. Boy, people were really wanting to hear about this, but these people were angry. I want you to just listen tonight. Can you hear the howling mob? Can you just hear the shouts of hate that they were calling out upon the Lord? Can you just hear how they were howling out saying, "Crucify the Lord"? And all of this was going on and they were still hollering. Why did you hear what Jesus Christ did? Why did you hear all of the things that he's been doing? Why he stirred up trouble everywhere he went? And I want you to know tonight, Jesus Christ never stirred up any trouble anywhere he went. He went about doing good and people could not stand it. We live in a world today where people do good and people cannot stand it for a moment. But here we have Jesus on trial. And I want you to understand something tonight. This was not new. Jesus knew when he came into the world what he was going to have to do. He knew that he would stand before Pilate. Well, he knew everything that would happen to him. He knew all of this before we were ever even thought of, before this world was ever even thought of. He knew that he would stand trial tonight. But I want you to think about something. I want you to think about how it must have hurt him to stand there and listen to this. How it must have hurt him to know that all of the things that he had done, all of the good that he went about trying to do, people did not like it. And here they were trying to put him to death. While they wanted him to be crucified. Oh, yes, they wanted him on the cross. And here we have this. And I'd just like to give Jesus Christ a moment to answer tonight. You know, it says that he didn't answer. But I'd like to give him a moment to answer tonight. Well, I want you to know what Jesus might have said had he given his answer. And when they asked, "Who are you?" and he said, "Thou sayest," I believe he would have said, "Why, sure, I'm the Son of God. You've heard it. You know that I am." And I believe these people knew it. Why, they said they didn't. And there's people today that say there's no God. Oh, well, they know there's a God. You know there's a God tonight. And if you don't, bless your hearts, you better be figuring it out really quick. But I want you to know and understand tonight. He said, "Who are you?" And they said, "Thou sayest that I'm the Son of God." While Jesus was just telling them the truth. And they thought he was a liar. They could have convicted him for lying. He was telling the truth. "Why, did you heal a blind man?" "Oh, yes, I did. Did you not hear about him? He's on the side of the road and I healed him." "Did you not hear about legion? He was full of all of those dead ones." And you know what I did? I cast him out. And you know something tonight? Jesus would have never been proud enough to say these things to these people. Why, he didn't want any accolades for him, I don't believe. He didn't want people to see his works. But I want to give him a voice tonight. And you might say, "Well, preacher, you're speaking for the Lord." I want you to know and understand tonight, he told me to preach, and therefore that's what I'm going to do. Amen. I want to give him an opportunity to speak tonight. I wish that he could rip the roof off this place and speak to us in such a way that we'd all know that he was speaking tonight. Yes. "Why, yes, did you not hear about the woman with the issue of blood? Why, she's been made whole." "Why, yes, she has. She has been made whole." "Did you not hear about Lazarus? I made him get up and walk from the grave. Why, he'd been dead, and he got right on up and he began to walk. Did you not hear about that? Did you hear about all of Zacchaeus? Why, he'd been taking money for all these years from people, and guess what? He changed his life. Did you not hear about that?" And then this howling mob, they have enough audacity to say, "Release unto us Barabbas." Why, they have enough audacity to let a murderer go and let the Son of God, who'd done all of these good things, they wanted to crucify him. Why him? How this must have hurt him tonight. Why, if he had to answer and say, "Guilty or not guilty," why, sure, if he'd have said, "I'm guilty of all of those things. Why, sure, I'm guilty of doing those things." But the one thing he was not guilty of was anything that should have put him on that cross. Amen. But I want you to know and understand tonight, he did it for you and me. Amen. And bless your heart. Bless your heart. You better get it right tonight because he did it for you. Every saved person, why, he did it for you too. Why, you better be rejoicing from every part of you that he went to the cross. Why, you better be so thankful for the spot that you've got us, Missionary Baptist. I'm going to hit this home tonight. We believe in a time and a place where God saves a soul, and you better have one tonight. Amen. Where you met this man named Jesus. Why, you better know him tonight. Because he did this for you. Oh, we sang that song. He did it all. Oh, he did it all. They spit upon him. Why, would you like to be spit upon tonight? Well, how would you feel? How would you feel tonight if somebody spit upon you and you were going to die for them? Why, how would you feel? Why, you wouldn't like it too much now, would you? But you know what? He did it all just for you and me. Why, he did it just so we wouldn't have to. Brothers and sisters, I'm so glad that he did. I hate to know that a guilty man died as an innocent person, a lamb slain before the foundations of this world. But I'm glad that he did. Well, Pilate's wife, she'd heard enough to know that he was a just man. Well, can you just imagine Pilate's wife walking out there to him and saying, let this just man go. He'd done nothing. She'd heard. And you know what? I'm sure he probably looked at her and thought, well, you crazy lady, you get back here and let me take care of the governing around here. Well, you let me take care of what needs to be taken care of. And I believe Pilate himself, we know that he really couldn't find fault in this man. Well, he was guilty of everything they said, but he still found no fault. Well, I believe Pilate would have let him go. I believe he would have said, go your merry way. I'll do this to him, but he can go free. But that wasn't the plan, was it? No, he had to withstand this trial for you and me. While Pilate's wife goes back, she tells him, she says, I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. She knew he was coming. Why, she already knew. She knew he was a just man. How these people couldn't see it, and they saw it. They knew that he was just, but they wanted him to die. Well, Pilate must have been conflicted because what he asked the crowd. He was the governor, and he was asking the crowd, who do you want me to release? What should I do to him? While the crowd rang out and they said, crucify him. Let Barabbas go, but you crucify him. Let the murderer go, but you crucify the Son of God. You crucify this man. And the governor says, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could get nothing over on this crowd, when he could prevail nothing, I want you to get this point here tonight. I believe he went and got him a basin of water, and he took that water, and he began to wash his hands. He said, the blood of this man is not going to be on my hands, but he was so wrong. Well, I want you to know and understand tonight, he could have stood there and rubbed them hands together until his arms fell off, but the blood was still upon his hands. The blood was still there. It was because of Pilate that he went. Well, Pilate tried to keep him off, but Pilate's just sitting there. Why? Because he's a sinner, and he needs to be saved just like you and I do. Well, he thought, well, I'll wash my hands of this, and I won't be judged for that one. No, I tried. I want you to know and understand tonight. I don't know that we ever find the book, the Bible, where it says that Pilate got saved. I pray somewhere that Pilate made an altar and humbled his heart before the Lord, because if he didn't, that blood was still upon his hands. And you know where the blood needs to be applied tonight? Your heart. Amen. Why, there's people tonight that think, oh, they can go down in the waters of baptism and that'll wash them away. Oh, no. You've still got the blood on your hands, and it's not been applied to the heart. Amen. Why? He looks upon the heart of man. And I want to put this in there. Can you just imagine? I want to read it for you. It's one of the most well-known verses in the Bible. I can just imagine Jesus saying this to us, saying this to the crowd. Give an account for what you've done. And I've already moved past this somewhat, but I want to get this in here before I move on very much farther. John 3:16. Why tell us? Tell us about it. Why have you done all of this stuff? What reason did you have to come? Listen to his answer. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Or can you just imagine tonight that coming out of the Lord's mouth? Can you just imagine that answer that he just gave? For God so loved the world that he sent me. What can you just imagine tonight? But this still wasn't good enough. No, the answer he gave, Pilate trying to get them to change their minds, it wasn't good enough. But they were getting ready to crucify the Lord. While the trial was over, they'd already convicted him. Now in your minds tonight, as far as it goes, as far as the trial that was laid out, I want you to know and understand tonight there was enough evidence to convict the Lord of the things that they say that he did. But there was no evidence to put him on the cross. Man. He had done nothing to go there. Right. But here it goes. For you. Barabbas is allowed to go. And then they scourge Jesus. Can you just imagine the beating that must have taken place there? Can you just imagine every whip that he took across his body? I believe you and I were on the forefront of his mind. I believe he knew that you and I would have to need a Savior. And bless your heart, the blood that was running down, it was for you. And that blood's got to go here. I'm going to tell you something tonight. We don't believe in an acceptance salvation because who are you to accept Jesus Christ? Who are you that you get to accept Him? You've done nothing except sin against the Lord. Why, bless your heart, if you have an acceptance salvation, you're going straight to hell. And I don't know how to put it any other way. I don't want to offend you tonight, but I want you to have what I've got. I want you to have the blood applied because He did this for you. And this is where it really gets sad for me, I guess. They beat him, but you know what? What they done next? They were just giving recognition that he really was who he says he was. Well, they gave him a robe of scarlet. Why, can you just imagine? Jesus Christ was getting his robe. Well, they were really adorning this king. Boy, they thought they were mocking him. And I guess in their eyes they were. But he was getting his robe. And then they took an old crown of thorns and they just placed it on his head. And then they took a reed and they smote him with it. And those thorns, they went a little deeper into his head. I want you to know it didn't feel good.
Amen.
It didn't feel like something you want. While the kings of this world, they might get the big, nice, regal crown that sits upon their head that people will know who they are. My king wore a crown of thorns. I'm thankful that he did. I didn't need one of those big kings. My king was bigger than the rest of them all combined. And he got a crown of thorns. He got a crown of thorns. But bless his heart, he was doing it with a heart full of love. With a heart full of love, he done every bit of this. Well, I want you to think about this tonight. Could you do this for this world? Well, there's a lot of you that I love, but after the first spit that somebody done on me, I'd be ready to fight and I'd be done. I'd say, Lord, come and get me. I'm sick of these people. Well, I'm just done. I don't want anything else to do with them. Oh, but you know what? People that were doing this, he loved Pilate. He loved Caiaphas. He loved the people that spit on him. He loved the ones that scourged him at the time. I'm sure it just hurt in agony. Oh, but he loved them. Amen. And he loves you tonight. Right. If he didn't, well, he wouldn't have sent his son and you wouldn't be here tonight. And it says, and after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Well, he took that old cross, and here he goes up Calvary's Hill. Well, here he goes walking down the streets of Jerusalem, the king of this world. You know what that cross was? Well, he was bearing you and I right along with him, going right up Calvary. Well, he bore you and I this whole time he was on this world, on this earth. But this moment, he had the whole weight of this world. That cross was nothing compared to the weight of the world that he had upon him. Why, it was nothing. Simon helped him to bear the cross. We're going to read on just a little bit, and I promise I'm not trying to take your time tonight, but the Lord has just given us this, and we've got to keep preaching. The 33rd verse of Matthew 27, it says, and when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. Well, I believe that what they gave him to drink, I don't know how many of you have ever tasted vinegar, but while it's not something that I'm going to sit down with my meal every night and take a big drink of, it's not something pleasant to drink. But they were giving it as an antiseptic. Well, how nice of them. Well, how nice of these people to give him an antiseptic to maybe have some of that pain go away. They thought they were really doing something, but Jesus didn't want to drink it. I believe he wanted to feel the pain for you and I. I believe he wanted to feel it. Here they go. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots. They were gambling over his clothes. While the clothes that were on his back, they were gambling over. That it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head the accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Why, if you can destroy the temple and you can build it again in 3 days, you can take yourself off that cross. They were mocking him, saying, "Well, if you've done all of these things, well, you just take yourself right on off that cross." But he had to stay there. He had to stay there. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, "Why, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Why, if he be the King of Israel, let him come now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. And he trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. And I want to stop right here for just a moment. And they were asking the Lord to come down off that cross, but I want you to know and understand something tonight. Had he come off that cross, he could have called legions of angels to come and get him off that cross. And while they would have believed in him then, why, but there would have been no hope anymore. Now, if Jesus Christ had come off that cross, we'd all be bound for a devil's hell. There would be no way we could be born again. There'd be no way that debt could be paid. He had to pay it. But they would have believed in him then. Well, that'd have been good enough for them. Well, they'd have died and went straight to hell anyways. I heard someone preach a few weeks ago that they didn't break his legs because that didn't have any compassion on him. Well, I believe the Bible says that no bone in his body would ever be broken. And I believe that no bones were broken in this. But I believe he was probably beaten to the point why we wouldn't even recognize him. Why the people that saw him at Pilate's halls, if you could just see him standing here tonight, the man that was there, and then the one that was hanging on the cross was beaten to a point that it didn't even look like a man, probably. Skin hanging off, blood dripping down. Why he didn't even look like a man. This is what our Savior went through.
Amen.
For you and I. It says he gave up the ghost, he died. It is finished. Well, bless his heart. Thank you, Lord, that he died for you and I. Thank you, Lord, that he stood that trial for you and I. Well, after that happened, Jerusalem began to shake. And I want us to read this verse right here in verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared him greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Well, they realized what they'd done. Well, at that point, they knew. Bless their heart, they put the king on a cross. Well, bless their heart, they knew what they'd done. Do you know what you've done tonight? You're a sinner in need of a Savior. And the Savior you need is the one that took the cross. Why, you don't need me to save you, because I can't. I didn't die for you. I couldn't die for you. Why, if you shook some preacher's hand and wrote your name on a card, you don't have the blood applied. It's still upon your hands. That blood is still on your hands. And guess what? It's going to stay there until you put your faith and your trust in Him.
Amen.
And seek Him for salvation.
Amen.
It's going to stay there. And you can look at me tonight and you can say, preacher, I'm never going to an altar. Well, honey, if that's how you feel about it, well, I'm just going to tell you where you're going tonight. You're going to hell. And guess what? You deserve it. I deserve it. I deserve hell. People don't like to hear that anymore. People don't like to hear they're going to hell. And I don't want to hurt your feelings tonight, but I want you to know where you're going. And I want you to know there's a way out of it. While people say you don't have to come to an altar to get saved, well, I believe that. But you know what I do believe? I believe you've got to be willing.
Amen.
Why, Jesus was willing to go to a cross for you and I. And you wouldn't be willing to come to an altar and pray. People say, well, I'm going to pray in my seat. If God's drawing you to an altar of prayer, you better make your way up here.
Amen.
Why, you can seek the Lord in your seat all day long. People say, well, I'll wait till I get home. We have made kind of a misconception sometimes and say you can get saved anywhere in time. Well, I don't really believe that. For no man can come to me except the Father brought him. And if God's not drawing you, you'll never get saved. When God convicts you of your sins and lets you know you're lost, why, you better do something about it. Because if you think, well, I'm just going to wait till I get home. That preacher's yelling at me enough tonight. I'm just going to wait till I get home. The Lord's not in with you there. I believe the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with me. And I believe there have been people that have waited and pushed the Lord off for too long. And the Lord said, well, I'm not dealing with him no more. Off in hell you go. How sad it would be tonight if you missed that opportunity. Why, Jesus Christ stood trial for you. He was beaten, mocked, spit upon, made fun of. And he did it all. Don't put off salvation.
Amen.
We sing that song from time to time. Don't put off salvation too long. The night shades, for you may be falling. While people say the Lord's coming back, and Brother Luke done an excellent job of pointing us and showing us the signs of the time and letting us know that God's coming back. But God's been coming back since the day he ascended back to heaven.
Amen.
It could be any moment. It could be in the twinkling of an eye. Why would you turn away this Savior tonight? Well, he did it all for you. He did it so you wouldn't have to. He did it because he loved you. Will you turn him away one more time? Maybe you are here and you have said, well, I'm saved. And maybe the Lord's knocking on that heart and letting you know, you don't have what those people have. You don't have what you say you've got. Why, it's no shame to be wrong, but it's a shame to be wrong and die and go to hell because you're too prideful to do something about it. Why, I'd hate to hear that tonight. People say, well, when I get to heaven, I'll look for so-and-so. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. When we get there, there'll be no more sadness, no more tears. And I'm going to be so happy with the ones that are there. I'll never even know if you're there if you're not there. Because if you don't make it, I'd be sad. You have an opportunity tonight. I wouldn't leave those doors. We hear people getting shot all the time. Accidents happen. And I'm not trying to, well, yeah, I guess I am trying to scare you tonight because you need to be scared. But now I wouldn't leave those doors tonight. I see a lot of cars passing by and they're going pretty fast. Well, I'd hate to pull out of this parking lot tonight and a car slam into you and that be it. My thought that I originally had was the door of mercy will be closed. The door of mercy is still open for you. The Lord's here. And bless your hearts, you need to get saved. You can't shake my hand. We could fill this baptistry up and I could dunk you 500 times. And you know what? You'd go in, up a dry center, down a wet center, up a wet center, down a wet center. It wouldn't do any good. Because you got to have the blood applied here. Well, that will never work. Why, getting baptized is a good thing. It makes you join the church. But now that won't never do any good unless you've got it right here. You can't accept Christ. I'm not going to give you nothing to sign. There's nothing to sign. God's already died for you. You don't have to sign anything. All you have to do is be willing to give it all up. Put your faith in Him. Repent for the things that you've done. Well, I've heard people say they started reeling off all the bad things they had done. God don't care about a bit of that. He wants to know you're brokenhearted and you need to be saved more than anything. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He withstood trial for you. Don't turn Him away tonight. That's our message. Let's have a song. Let's have a song and stand. Oh, and I want to give you an opportunity. You know, we have these altar calls for people to respond to the Lord. But you don't have to wait until they start a song. What's doing with you? I'm at an altar right now. Let's have a song.